The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The following is a pre-record. Enjoy. Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is December 14th, Sunday morning, 8 a.m., bright and early. And I will disclose, I am pre-recording this, so there will not be any call-ins today. But it is December 14th, and it's probably raining because the forecast calls for that. And we're in that time of year now, so it really, really, really smells and feels like basketball season. So I know my son has tryouts at Boulder Creek on Monday, and I've always said basketball is a year-round activity. That's why it's round, and football has a point to it, the beginning and the end, and that's why football season should end. No, I'm just kidding, because I know a lot of you are up early, probably already tailgating to watch football. So with that, in studio today, I have a friend of mine, Dave Backus. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
And you ran for city council this last year, and I didn't get a chance to get connected to have you in with the other candidates. So I'm really glad to have you come back in. And, you know, I have such an admiration for anybody that runs for office, that puts their name on the ballot, gets the signatures, walks neighborhoods, even with a broken foot, as I'm sure we'll talk about. And, you know, so I really am anxious to hear kind of like what you learned, what surprised you in the process. You're no stranger to politics, correct? You're a political science major, correct?
Correct. I got my degree in political science, and then, you know, promptly after being involved in a little bit, I swore it off for a while. And then a good friend of mine, Mark Mazzano, pulled me back in and said, hey, be my campaign manager for the assembly run. So here I am back in it, and, you know, I've not going away now. So
well, that's awesome. So for the listeners that know you a little bit or know you as a realtor, tell us you know, briefly about your background, when you came to the county, a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the political fray, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, my wife and I moved here around 15 years ago. It was right after college, you know, that time where you're applying out to 1,000 places, and you know, my wife managed to get her internship locally, and we've stayed ever since. And so this is going to be the only place that we've lived since college. But you know, she grew up here. She was born here, and then her parents moved to Michigan for a short period, and that's where she got her undergrad. And then we met at Humboldt State, okay. Back what was Humboldt State. Now it's Cal Poly Humboldt, which I like to tote that, you know, oh yeah, I'm a graduate of Cal Poly, but you know, I wasn't at the time.
So. Well, and you had a football team back then, the Lumberjacks.
Yeah.
And they don't have football anymore, correct?
I don't believe they have football anymore. They've eliminated a number of sports programs. They're really focusing on academics. That's, you know, I suppose the reason that they're there, but it is kind of nice to go out to football games. And, you know,
wish,
what do you do for homecoming if you don't have football?
I wish people could see the smiles on our faces when we talk about academics. I mean,
yeah, right.
I try and tell people so often, man, don't confuse intelligence with education and a piece of paper on the wall. But that's for another show. So
yeah.
Go ahead, keep going. So you guys moved here?
I 100% believe that you learn way more out in the real world than you'll ever learn inside of a classroom. Now, of course, you know, fundamentals and basics, that's great. But, you know, yeah, out there you learn. And but, yeah, anyway, so I came up here and, you know, I obviously we were getting my wife established in her career, and I kind of was looking around. And I've always wanted to open my own business. That's always been a goal of mine. And so I was looking around different options, different ways. And, you know, I fought being a realtor for a very long time because I'm the fourth generation to do it. And
oh, wow.
So I, you know, I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting my real estate license. I'm not going to do this. And then, well, you know, I did it. And now I have my own team and operate my own business up here. And, you know, it's been very successful and a very positive thing. And I really, I do enjoy it. I love helping people find, you know, their living situation. And sometimes that's a sad situation that they're, you know, going through divorce or a death or, and, you know, you get really involved and really into people's lives, and you become very important for, you know, the time that they're doing that search. And I try and stay in it afterwards too. So it's, you know, it's a very people friendly business. And politics, I felt like, was a very people involved business as well. Friendly is a word I might not use to describe it, but it depends. You know, you meet people along the way like yourself that are dedicated to their community and want to make things better. And, you know, it's everyone's just got a different viewpoint on how to get that done. And it's about how to work together.
Yeah, and I think that's what we want to teach our kids, and that's the people we want to surround ourselves with, just by and large, whoever you are. You want to have people that you can learn from and not, maybe don't always agree with, but you can get along. And that's one thing I've learned about politics personally in the last 2.5 years is there's people that just flat out don't want to get along. They have no interest in getting along ever. And that's a tough pill to swallow when you've been a person, probably much like yourself, who has really, been around a lot of people. And, it's like I think everybody has a need and a desire to want to be liked. But I think the most important thing I just want to be understood. Mm-hmm. So for you, like, what was, let's go back a little bit. What's one thing that really surprised you about local politics? Even though you'd run a camp, you've helped on campaigns, you ran a campaign, and obviously you studied it in college, but what is something running as a candidate yourself that really surprised you, and what's something that only solidified your belief and maybe another item? So two things.
Yeah, so I mean, definitely probably one of the biggest surprises is that, I don't think people understand how much of yourself you put out when you're doing a campaign. You absolutely show up, you bear who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and in the hopes that they'll like you as a person and believe that you would be a good leader for the community. But I think that probably the biggest surprise was when you see others outright saying things that are not true and that are impossible to happen, but it's the things people want to hear. And how do you combat that as a candidate and say, hey, we can't do that? Like, I know it's a great idea and you want it to happen, but we can't do it. Like, we have all these different rules, regulations, and contracts that we'd be violating if we did that, and there'd be major repercussions. So, it's just interesting to me how, we talk about the hot button issues, but we don't dive into the details of why it matters to approach it in one way or another, and come up with new ideas on how we can approach it maybe a different way. But to outright say that you're going to do something that can't be done in an election, in my opinion, is just wrong.
Yeah, no, I get that. And what's something that you knew going in, or you believed going in as a campaign manager, but then only like running for office, it only solidified your belief?
Oh, most definitely that I believe truly that anyone that puts their name in the race and is out there running truly does care for their community. Some people, I guess, they claim that people get into this only to better themselves. Well, let me just tell you, $600 a month that you would get paid as a city council person is not something that's going to sway me into bettering myself. That's not changing my life path. Even if they changed it, they had said they were going to potentially raise that to $1,900 a month. I actually support that. I believe that's a good move because it'll open up the opportunity for candidates that maybe don't have the financial means like others do to be able to come in there and have maybe some sort of a help that would be able to keep their finances in order while they're running. Because it takes, you probably put in 20, 25 hours a week at least into this, I would imagine. You probably maybe even a little more as chair and supervisor.
I'll tell you, like, the difference of a supervisor and a city councilman, whether it's Redding, Shasta Lake, or Anderson, and this isn't any slight to anybody else, but a supervisor is, if you're not putting in 50, 60 hours a week as a supervisor, you're doing it wrong. Yeah. But they are apples and oranges in terms of just the roles. So, but I do agree with you that I don't know the number because I don't know what city council does, but I know city council individuals, and that was the one thing about Councilman Mazzano, Mark, is he treated it like a full time job because he had a pension, he was retired from, the CHP, so he could do that. But you have like Dr. DeNuca, new council member Mike Littal, use those two as examples. They run like one a medical practice and then a whole
insurance
brokerage. So they're not going to be able to put that kind of time in, but the job doesn't really require that either.
It's I'm going to say that you can run it in a million different ways. Like you said, Mark, absolutely. It was a full-time job. He was out in the community. He was always doing everything. He's definitely going to be missed on the council. Michael DeQuisto prior to that, same thing. That guy dedicated a lot of hours to serving his community. And, I just challenge these new people coming in, do the same, as much as you can. put as much as you can into your community and try incredibly hard to make the change that you said you were going to.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely people that do run that do it to lift a status or it's just I don't want to personally. I don't want to say attack, or I won't do that. Yeah. But I have very strong opinions why different people run. I mean, I could tell you.
Placeholders and stepping stones is another reason that some people run. You
absolutely.
Know, they're not looking at being a city council person. They don't really care about the city. They're thinking, hey, I want to be an assembly person. I want those other things, and I can't do that unless if I have this title underneath me.
Yeah.
And we see a little bit of how that worked out for Tenessa Audette with her assembly run. Fighting over Mark Mizzano to get the mayorship, which was really important to him, for a 25% voter turnout in her favor.
One thing I'll
very
say.
Very unfortunate.
Yeah, one thing I'll say is there was that new, the new council was seated, and Dr. DeNuca took, the stance that he did. I thought that was admirable. And it is a bummer, for Mark to be there. 4 years. And again, I've talked to Supervisor Jones, who I'm going to miss. And I will say I've been meeting and working with Supervisor-elect Matt Plummer, quite a bit. So when I say I'm really going to miss Patrick, it's no slight to Supervisor Long, Plummer, or, Harmon coming in. But, the one thing with Patrick, again, is that the guy has a wealth of information about Shasta County. He's been here forever. With the same haircut, mind you, he loves the area, and there's really, and that's all. And you made a great point. You said that people, you believe if they run, by and large, they care about the community. Because I will say there are people that did get elected, even like with the SCOE school board that, I may grossly disagree with somebody's politics, ideology, beliefs. But, it's important to them, and they have that right. And as long as they are kind, compassionate, and the way they articulate that, my biggest issue is when people force me to believe things that they believe or buy into ideologies that they buy into. Don't force that on me. And that's where I draw the line. And then again, if we talk about SCOE and kids, then it becomes even
How are we treating our younger generations and what are we telling them and teaching them? And that's where I believe that we have found, it used to be 10 years ago, no one cared about school boards. No one even looked at who was running. No one cared about it. And now all of a sudden, they are top of mind. It's like the school board races are almost more important than some of the other city government, positions that are running out there. And I think that's great that we're focusing on schools.
Is it Country Strong? Is that the name of the school out in Palo Cedro? At Lonnie?
That sounds right.
You have these different, or Arise Academy, you have these different charters or homeschool networks that have popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are just becoming more and more aware of, other options. And I'll tell you, if the Trump administration does move towards in any way federally, getting rid of the Department of Education federally, but that doesn't really help California kids because if it returns everything to the state, then it's not necessarily a good situation.
It's also showing signs of a return to the nuclear household. It's showing signs of a greater economy. There's a number of reasons with kids being homeschooled and those sorts of things. It's showing a lot of great economic growth as well.
Yeah, I have. I've been spending a lot of time in Butte County with some districts down there, and then across the state. And it's there's just a lot of kids hurting. And
especially in Butte County.
Yeah, well, one of the athletes that I represent, Joe Morofsky, who's the weatherman on American Ninja Warrior, he was working as a ninja coach at a gymnastics center in Connecticut, and then the Sandy Hook shooting. So he lost 3 students in that shooting. So, he did a video for the school in Oroville for that we're sending along, and we just did an event in Oroville this past few days, not for that school, but kids can't choose their parents. I've said that over and over, and the more help we can send kids, the better. So let's get back to you.
Yep.
It's a little different because obviously the election's over.
Yeah.
So are you gonna run again? Like what are you thinking?
So, you know, it's really kind of interesting, you know, talking to someone about, you know, I just ran a marathon. Are you going to run again? And I, and come on, let's be honest here. You know, you're tired. You're hurting. You know, it's been,
that's the worst time to probably ask somebody.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sitting in that same spot right now. I've learned a lot. You know, I believe that I would be an asset still to this city, and I will still stay engaged and involved. Whether that's going to be resulting in running again next, you know, next election in 2 years, I am yet to determine that. So, but, you know, again, I'm going to continue to stay involved like I have been, you know, a lot of people, you know, one of the subjects we talked a lot about was running nonprofits, and I run nonprofits. We do a lot of children's focused work, ending food scarcity and those sorts of things, talking about how, you know, kids can't pick their parents. You're right. Kids can't pick their parents, but we can be around as a community to still support them. And so I'm going to continue to do that work. Just finished a couple nights ago making 11 bikes we're going to give out to young kids that couldn't afford a bike. And let me tell you, my bike was my life as a kid.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I rode everywhere. And so I'd like that, hopefully, to, you know, change kids' lives like that and continue to do so. And if it turns into an election run again, I'll promise I'll let you know.
Okay. So let me ask you this. The, you know, one of the things that, that really surprised me, being, and being very far from politics, you know, prior to running, is just the finances of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I decided to run, you know, one of the things that, that our team really stressed early was about, you know, donations, and because you got to get your message out, and you got to do media buys, and you need to do, you know, and there's a cost to that. And, you know, one of the things I learned is the media is not a conservative person's friend, especially in Shasta County.
I mean, certainly not generally.
Especially across the country, but, you know, really, even surprisingly, even in Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the media plays, I believe, a smaller and smaller role. And, but, you know, you had some different experiences with the media.
Yeah, we're given these tools now where we can do a lot of our own productions. We can, you know, form a media center inside of our home office, and we can record things and put them out there. And if people want to listen, they can listen. You're right. The media is becoming less and less relevant. That being said, I do still support, you know, having freedom of speech in our media. I believe that it's an important factor. But, yeah, you know, right towards the end of the election, right at the time where you have to have all your final media buys, when you have to have Facebook and social medias and most platforms will cut you off on a certain date. And on that date, one other candidate, on not even my own ticket, put out a video that slammed myself, Mark Mazzano, Mike Latah, that just an absolute tirade of a rant that, you know, called us misogynists and, you know, puppets and all these terrible things. And now that was done in a home office, in a home studio with all those things, and people have the choice to be able to listen to it. But then it was sponsored. It was put out there on these social sites. And the worst thing ever happened. One of our news, quote unquote, sources picked that up and made a story about it as though there was anything to write about. And, well, push comes to shove. You know, when something gets published, it's out there. There's nothing that you can do other than to reach out to the editor and ask for a retraction, which in this case it was denied. You know, and the situation was is that, you know, they said that an insider from Mark Mazzano's old campaign said that there were these terrible things happening and that Kevin Cry was a puppeteer.
Now I remember which one you're talking about. Yeah, no, I mean, it's insane. You know, and the reality is there's a lot of people that are waking up. So I'm actually really thankful for how poor by and large our media is, because mm-hmm. really what it's done is it's forced me to, I mean, when I started doing my coffees and my Facebook videos, it was really just because one of the big issues I ran on was transparency. Like, I've got nothing to hide. I'm a pretty boring person. Like, I don't. You know, like, I don't even go to the filmings when I've got, you know, a client. I mean, I am a little bummed I didn't go to the Olympics, but that's only because, you know, quite honestly, as a supervisor, like, it wasn't something that was in the cards for me to be gone 10 or 14 days. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not starstruck. I just don't care. So I thought, hey, from a standpoint of letting people into this process, but what it's done is it's really made me shift my thinking about, okay, like, you know, and ironically, like, you see Trump with True Social and some of that stuff. So, and I'm not saying I'm following that lead, but the reality is I'm doing more videos. And now when I look at analytics of, different entities locally that have, you know, they're not media outlets, they're websites. Or, you know, they maybe have some distribution, but even like our Record Searchlight, like that's not, I mean, that comes in the mail. It's like, you know, it's become junk mail, yeah. You know, and it's not even, and it's irrelevant. You could look at it online, but the reality is it's in Visalia. We have a few local people, but there's nothing there.
Print media about any of that. Yeah, it's all print media's. We're going to declare it dead in Shasta County.
Yeah, well,
unfortunately, we've got a couple small publications still out there fighting the good fight.
But. Yeah, and you know, and it's not just Shasta County; it's going away a lot of places. Mm-hmm. But what it's forced me to do is it's forced me to get more engaged, and you know, and the more they do that, the more content I'm going to keep putting out, and I'm looking at my insights, my analytics, the reach. In terms of, you know, who's watching and who's commenting and who is actually getting involved, and that's great because you know, we get we can get that data. You can, you know, scrape that data offline of, you know, how many page landings and all of the insights and stuff. And so I'm thankful that some of that stuff has happened because it just keeps, you know, pushing more stuff out to me, and I don't you know, I'm sorry, boy, you hit a yeah, button right. There. This is your time, and here I'm just going off about the media. But it's just kind of like, I don't.
Well, it's moments like what I discussed, though, that make us rethink our reliance on the media. Is this something that I want to be spending my time reading when it comes out as blatant falsehoods and absolute lies? And, you know, and again, and I'm being very strict about this, and I'm using strong words because it's important. I hold journalism to the highest integrity because that's where it should be held.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when we were kids, or I shouldn't say we, because I'm probably 10 years old. If you just got out of college 15 years ago, I graduated college in 99. So, and I'm a grandfather. So there you go. But I would, if Tom Brokaw or Peter Jennings, or, you know, Ted Koppel came on, Walter Cronkite, for those of you listening, because I know I have some older listeners, my mom and my uncle.
I listened to Walter Cronkite.
Exactly. So he wasn't on then. But the other three, Dan Rather, you know, if they were on, like, if you didn't change the channel. Mm-hmm. I don't remember my parents ever, they'd watch any of them. And even growing up, when I was in high school, we had a class called Current Events, and we had U.S. News and World Report, and that's what was like our textbook, and we just learned about new things. And that was probably the only time I was ever really quote-unquote politically engaged was my senior year in high school in that class, because it was interesting to talk about things we were seeing on, you know, Desert Storm or whatever. And, you know, I really, now it's just... Yeah, you know, it's so partisan. So, and I don't care if it's Fox or CNN. Like, I take almost all of it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Joe Rogan may be one of the best journalists because he lets people just come on and talk, and then, you know, you can make up your mind for yourself. And we did have a couple reporters locally, one of them that I still hold out hope for, and the individual probably knows who I'm talking to because it's really one of the only ones I really ever talked to that I really hope that individual stays the course and puts content out that lets the reader decide what they believe, and it's not so slanted. Mm-hmm. You know, but sometimes I am starting to see some of that because a lot of it is driven by the dollar and who's buying ads and who the advertisers are and who you're going to cater to. And, you know, so we'll see, you know, we'll see where that goes. Did you ever have any, I mean, did you ever reach out to any of the publications or, you know, about a retraction?
I absolutely did. Yeah. And this was, you know, again, I'll name names. You know, Shasta Scout and Annalise Pierce was the, you know, head editor, and she's the one that put that in and said, you know, I'm going to put my name on this article. And it was so alarming to me that there was no retraction issued, that there was never even an update issued into that article to reflect the fact that I asked her, I said, hey, did you check this source that you're claiming is giving you this information? And she responded back.
Are you talking about when
she said about the,
when the candidate that was running against Mark, when Aaron Rez, I'll just say it, like when Aaron Rez was, and then she says it was all this like cabal. that yeah. Kevin Cry was behind.
And yeah. So, you know, but she said that specifically a Mizano insider gave this information yeah. over. And I said, you know, hey, I get it. If you want to protect your source and not name them, that's fine. But I do want to confirm you did physically talk to this person. You confirmed these facts with that individual before publication. And she said to me, I'm not going to release any of that information to you. That's part of our editorial team.
You know,
and I just think that's hiding behind an answer of no, we did not.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a short break. You know what? I was curious if we were going to like actually go into this because I never addressed it, but I was asked for an interview and I gave a statement to Annalise. But add to it after the break, let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure.
And I'll tell you what I learned. You know, lifelong learning, you keep learning stuff. But I learned some really big lessons in this election that I haven't even really spoken about. So we'll talk about that after the break. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Celebrate Christmas Eve and Day at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us for Christmas Eve or Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holiday special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Are you ready to roll the dice and hit it big? Get down to Wind River Resort and Casino and take your shot at the brand new craps table.
Feel the excitement,
the thrill,
the rush.
Whether you're a seasoned player or just getting started, craps has something for everyone.
Pass line,
hard ways.
Come hit your point and win big.
Roll in to Wind River Resort and Casino today. Your luck starts here. For complete details, see WindRiver.com or call 1-800-280-UWIN. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
This New Year's Eve, step into the magic and ring in the new year at Reading Garden of Lights. Celebrate 2025 with your loved ones surrounded by 2 million lights, live music from the band Hook, and a special New York-style countdown at 9 p.m., perfect for families with early bedtimes. Enjoy delicious treats, warm drinks, and the spirit of giving as all proceeds support Turtle Bay's animals, exhibits, and educational programs. Don't miss out. Reserve your tickets now at turtlebay.org.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Invest in your future with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready or transfer eligible in programs like nursing, forestry, teaching, accounting, physical therapy assistant, computer information systems, and many others. Classes are free for full-time students with flexible hours and compressed 8-week options. Perfect for working adults. Ask about the many financial aid options available to help you turn your calling into a career. Spring semester begins January 13th. Enroll at ShastaCollege.edu.
This is a pre-record of Kevin Cry Show. Enjoy.
All right, we are back. Kevin Cry, this is my show. And in the studio with me today, I have Dave Backus. And before I forget, don't forget you can go on the website votekevincry.com. That is votekevincry.com. And all of these episodes are archived, as well as you can go on Facebook. And I go live every Monday morning at 7. And I'm going to be getting a lot more content out. I've been posting some videos and some pictures. Recently, I was Kash Patel, who I was very, very fortunate to open for an event when I was raising money for the failed recall attempt. And I got a chance to open for him and got a picture with him. So it was great to see him get appointed by President Trump. And then I just put up a post a couple days ago from when I did an event opening for Carrie Lake. And actually, Carrie and I, like, we text pretty regularly still. Phenomenal, phenomenal lady. And someday I will have her on for sure. Wanted to definitely get through this election, and I know that was that's a tough loss for her, and we can unpack that, because there's some when I say wonky stuff, it's interesting when you see you know, down ballots, how there's just a flip, and some of those things, those are the things that just make me not disbelieve in the election system, but really just say, some of that stuff just doesn't make sense, but that's okay. We'll talk about that later. So before the break, Dave and I talked about the Shasta Scout article and the accusations that I and maybe others were part of some type of cabal, some big conspiracy or misogynistic group. And that's the thing that just always makes me chuckle, because I have roughly six leaders in all my companies, and five of them are women. And the one individual that is, I won't say quote unquote a leader, they're definitely a leader, but their department is two people, you know.
Yeah.
And so the person that has the least oversight of others is a male. For me, I just cringe at that. And I have two very, very, very independent, strong-willed, highly intelligent daughters and a wife who we will celebrate 25 years of marriage this coming week. So, you know, it's one of those things that I hear the word misogynist and I just kind of chuckle at that. And the one thing I think I've always done really well is I treat men and women the same. And, you know, and it's like I open a door for a
shocking
guy.
Shocking. Yeah. Shocking. Oh,
and
my
so
gosh,
when people
what?
Say, hey, you were really rude, it's like, well, you know, I think the worst thing, and I've told my daughters this, like I coach, and again, I will say this, because, you know, I mean, my wife has a hard time, or did have a hard time, because I was pretty hard on, you know, female athletes. But I, at the same time, the reason why a lot of the female athletes and the families I worked with for years appreciated it was I treated them like athletes, not boys, not girls, athletes. And my style of coaching was definitely more, you know, I don't want to say Bobby Knight, because he actually laid his hands on an athlete, but yeah, definitely more old school, than, you know, kumbaya, and not that that's bad either. And so when it came to the comments about, you know, what was going on with the conspiracy of how that all happened, I mean, I'll just be honest, and I always have been with this. I didn't say a lot in the media because it wasn't my election and it wasn't my thing to get involved with. But what I'd said was fact. I mean, Mark Mazzano is a grown man who can make his own decisions. I told Mark, like I told many other people, one thing that I've really benefited from is I've been able to be in office with some like-minded people. I wouldn't call it – I mean, we're definitely cordial, friendly. We don't vacation together. We'll maybe go to a 4th of July barbecue or different fundraisers, but ideology-wise, Supervisor Kelstrom and Supervisor Jones, we line up on a lot. And I told, you know, Mark, who's a friend of mine, who I've spent a ton of time with in homeless camps over the past 2 or 3 years, I mean, he still goes out there, yeah. and he's been going out there. The last year, I've gone far less.
I don't think he's going to stop either.
I don't think he's
going to
stop.
Even once he's off the council. He's going to continue to work in his community.
Exactly.
The guy cares.
He cares. I could go on and on. And for me, you know, I was really adamant that I said, hey, however this flushes out, you've got to be able. And I learned this jokingly in Red, White, and Blueprint. When I watched an episode, and this was way back when I very first started to run, and the whole thing about counting to three. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you know, and that's the truth.
That's the only way you can get things done.
Mark Mazzano never got to be mayor because he didn't get to count to three. And I said, hey, you're going to have to be able to count to three or you're just going to pull your hair out. And it's going to be frustrating.
Juggernaut got to control who became mayor, and they decided to put up their candidate for assembly over another candidate for assembly, which is just, you know, regardless of if that was going to be something that they took into consideration, they should have just appointed someone else to be mayor than Mark and Tanessa. But to give one of those candidates an edge in a primary race when they're both running against each other.
Yeah, well, that's something that when I say I can't articulate on, because for me, I mean, I've worked with Tanessa on a couple of committees, and I've had nothing but positive experience working with her. And same with Mark Mazzano. Now, what bothers me about some of that is when there are these, you know, and I've really never even addressed it, but I'll address it. I don't want to address it now.
Going back and forth.
Well, here's what's tough is, you know, there are certain things that, you know, you can say, okay, I got to move on, got to just get work done. And one thing I'll say, there's five council members at the city of Reading, and I do, and when I say this, and I say I look forward to working with all of them, because I've started to see some great work collectively get done, which hasn't been done, to my knowledge, almost ever in terms of like the at-home program. We were the only county in the state of the 58 that CSAC put this together, and the League of Cities and Reading, City of Reading, and the County of Shasta, as well as the City of Shasta Lake and the City of Anderson, were able to work together for this at-home program. And it's, and again, I'm a little disappointed in how I feel government slowly has hijacked the process more, but at least we got something done that we can point to in this navigation center and, you know, partnering with the Good News Rescue Mission, how that's all worked out so far has been great. And I want to see that continue to go. So I don't know who Mayor Munns is going to, you know, put on these various committees, the various assignments that he'll make, but you have Councilwoman Reznor and then Councilwoman Audette, and then Jack, and then Mike, and then Dr. Danuka. Like, you know, they'll...
Yeah. And during my election, you know, I put a lot of pressure on our leaders, and I would expect nothing less from my constituents if I had been elected, to put pressure on me to make sure that I perform and do my job. And so, you know, oftentimes you'll hear me be very critical of some of the decisions that are made, but none of it comes from a place of disrespect. You know, I respect the authority and the position that they're sitting in. And again, like I said, I do default back to, I believe that they want to make their communities better. I've actually gotten to know Jack Munns a little bit, and I believe that he is going to be a good mayor. I really hope that he can, help make the council less, trying to use the right words here, but I'll just say juggernaut-y. Let's approach each issue not from, you know, the perspective of what your church wants you to do, but in the perspective of what's best for our community. And that's one of the things that I'd really like to see out of this council this year. And I was really hoping that we'd have the count to three, but we've got two, and we've got a good mayor at the helm. And I really hope that, you know, they can all work together and keep the progress moving forward for the city of Reading.
No, I agree. And I think, and I've gotten to know Jack, pretty well, and him and I definitely have had some, ups and downs and hard conversations and, you know, and like civil arguments, you know, and, but, you know, Jack's a good dude. Like, we've got a really, really strong mutual friend and a guy named John. Won't say his last name because I don't want people going down to his Facebook to see who he is. But John knows who he is, and Jack knows who I'm talking about. So, you know, and that's healthy, you know. And what I've learned is, just the communication style. Like, but I'm still learning that. Like, I was at RCRC yesterday, and you know, which is all the rural counties who caucus rural in California. There was 28 representatives there, and more lobbyists and stuff in the room. And we had a person from the state come in and talk about what a great job the state's doing and this and that. And someone says, well, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. And I just, you know, when I say blurt out, I mean, I say, that's because they got to justify their paychecks, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And a place just erupts. And then, then you have like Ann Cottrell at Napa, lover. She's one of my favorite supervisors. She's very left, very Democrat, very blue. And, she looks at me and kind of shakes her head and smirks, but, you know, but again, the RCRC is a very conservative caucus. So like, I just call it out. Like, I can't sit there and listen to stuff and be gaslit by different, you know. And so I'm working on that. I'm getting better. And so Jack and I've had some conversations where I just, you know, say stuff and some of these things we sit on, and I'm trying to be more tactful, but you know.
Well, and having tact is obviously very important, you know, when you're talking about, you know, getting along with people. But really, when push comes to shove, it's not necessary to get things done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that I looked at. I can just think of so many movies or so many sports analogies where it's like, hey, you know, I don't like you, but I'm going to throw you the ball, and I expect you to catch it, and I expect you to break a tackle and go score a touchdown, you know, and. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, I don't want to be like, you know, I've heard, I never played with him, but Kobe Bryant, I've heard that he was like a really terrible teammate. Same with Michael Jordan. But then you hear about some teammates, you know, like John Stockton or others. And so it's like, hey, they're all successful. And at the end of the day, if you're judged as a athlete or as a politician or as whatever, as, you know, getting things done, or I don't want to say winning, but like whatever the metrics you're judged by, like I just want to, just like you, I just want to do good work for the community.
Yeah.
And, you know, and cause that's what I learned in this whole thing is, it does take more people, like my measures, you know, measures P and Q.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met a lot of people that are just like, dude, where do we live? But then a lot of people have said, well, I just voted no on those. And people I don't really talk to regularly. And they just said, well, I just knew I was supposed to vote yes on 36 and everything else was a no.
And everything that, you know, that should be a conversation about liberty on those items became a conversation about partisan politics.
Exactly.
And at which point in there did it say that this was a Democrat or a Republican issue? This is not that. This is talking about liberty in our,
yeah,
in our,
well,
community.
I mean, think about it. Like, we voted overwhelmingly in this county for Trump. Now, I will say there were some precincts in District 1 that voted for Harris over Trump, more in District 1 than any other district in in Shasta County. Mm-hmm. And which is fine, like that's the democratic process, that's part of our republic. And the reality though with those is both of those measures were about taking power from the government, and they were spun a completely different way. So what I learned in this process is you got to bring people along the way. I could have put, you know, Dave Backus, Fred Flintstone, and George Jetson down, and people would have seen in the guide, oh, there's four names there, there's four names there. They don't know maybe who's George Jetson or Fred Flintstone are, or Dave Backus, or, you know, they just see, oh, there's four people over there, there's one person here. And when in doubt, what I've learned, when in doubt, vote no. And because, you know, hey, status quo is fine, and then you had all the propositions that were no. So I learned a very valuable lesson. You know, because I've called a ton of people that I haven't talked to in years. I use it as a chance to reach out to people on my Facebook that I've been Facebook friends with for, you know, since I got on Facebook maybe 10 years ago, and said, hey, did you vote in this election? Yes. Did you vote on P and Q? I think so. I voted. Oh, what'd you vote? I don't remember. Well, if you don't remember, you probably voted no, because usually. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's a lot harder to get a yes vote, but I thought because the charter passed overwhelmingly at 56-57%, well, then that means everyone's going to vote. Yeah. And so when we run these back, because we will, and if there's three votes at the Board of Supervisors, those will be back on, and we'll, you know, we'll change the language, because realistically, you know, Supervisor Rickert, Supervisor Garmer said this is a power grab by the Board of Supervisors. It is the exact opposite. And that's when I realized, wow, you know, it's the media plays a part in that. And, you know, so anyway, I don't know. That's just, one of the things I learned is I've got to bring people along, and I have to think differently.
I didn't look at the final results on that measure. What was the final percentages on those?
Well, I know Measure P lost by 200 or 300 votes. I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was
incredibly close.
Oh, it was like 50. It was like kind of like my. You know, the elections,
like the,
I mean, well, yeah, or all my elections are, but you know, I've consistently outworked my opponents. I haven't always outraised them. I've never outraised them. And, you know, I don't know if that's a fair statement. I'd never looked at the final, what was raised or whatever. But, the reality is though, is, you know, I learned a valuable lesson, because had I put, you know, Dr. Danuka, Dave Backus, Mark Mazzano on those things with me, they would pass probably better than the charter did. But again, just lessons learned about bringing people along and what that looks like.
And that's, again, lessons learned. Part one of the things that I learned is that endorsements matter because people look for the names of people they know more than the person that's being elected. It's kind of surprising, actually.
Well, that would be an interesting debate because I got like zero endorsements. But what I'll tell you though is I don't disagree with you. Because I could make the case for both. Let's talk about that. Like, I know, like, the Shasta County Republican Assembly, when you first got here, we talked a little bit about the Central Committee and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, I never got endorsed by the California Republican Assembly.
That's something we share in common.
Yeah. And they did support me in the recall, but in my elections, I didn't because I wasn't conservative enough. Mm-hmm. And when I run again, will they support me? That I would hope so, but you just don't know what people think.
Well, and the Central Committee's had its share of issues, which we're not going to dive into that, but you know, so they've been having some infighting and that's led to less and less endorsements. They had to do the endorsement vote for Tanessa 5 times before she finally got the endorsement because it took that much fighting inside of each other to come up to just one endorsement for the mayor of the city of Redding in Shasta County to get the endorsement of their Central Committee.
Yeah. It speaks
volumes.
Yeah, well, I think I really think when we talk about endorsements and things of that nature, I think what we're going to see in the next 2 years with the city of Redding, with the council that's there, because they have some really big decisions, and then the board of supervisors, they with a budget of $700 million, there's always going to be big decisions, and it'll be really interesting to see what the election looks like in 2 years. Mm-hmm. like what at the council and the board, Supervisor Kelstrom and I, for all intents and purposes, I think we both intend to run. Again, and then the city council, obviously.
Those are the big questions on whether or not Aaron Reznor is going to take a step back after 2 years or if she's going to run again. Whether Tanessa is going to try to take that step up again in 2 years or if she's going to just, stay on the council or if she's just going to stop entirely. You never really know what's going to happen. The political scene unfolds as you get closer to the election.
Yeah.
And so at this point, all of us political strategists out there in the world, we just sit back with our, hands clasped and wait for actions to take place because, we can plan all we want, but in push comes to shove, filing day is the day you're going to find out who's going on the ballot.
Yeah. And I think what really fries people that really are entrenched in Shasta County politics and love politics and, understand what's there to gain if their candidates get in. I could call this show. I have a constituent in District 1 that encouraged me to call my show Tales from the Crypt and just bring out all the different things, whether it's about, different individuals, the McConnell Foundation, how different deals were done, roundabouts that were put in on Shasta View, car dealerships that were blocked. I could go on and on what local developments got, internet or city sewer, and it was passed by a bunch of others. I mean, there's probably no less than 50 things that I could go into, but I'm just not, it doesn't serve a purpose. However, pause for dramatic effect, I will say, we have some things coming, in the next, few weeks that I think are cleansing of the county and just of, let's just take it away from local for a second and take it to national, right? Biden, who is pardoning and granting clemency to just a record number of people. Now, I will say, when you talk about drug offenders that were put away, I can get on board with some of that because, mm-hmm. And this isn't because it's just my brother, but, my brother went to prison for an amount of marijuana that isn't even cited anymore.
Yeah.
And so I could see giving somebody in their 60s clemency who, had a drug offense in 1987, who's now whatever, and so I can get on board with some of those. And that's where it's not partisan to me.
I almost feel like that should be put into the legislation. It should be an automatic clemency for people that had those charges. If it's not illegal today, why do we let that still sit on people's records and go against them from years past?
Well, I would say if you look at like white collar crimes like tax fraud or tax evasion, and if tax code has changed, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, no. I don't disagree. I don't disagree with the sentiments, and that's what I look at. But when you talk about, you know, Biden granting immunity or pardoning people.
His son. Let's all talk about it. We know what we're talking about.
Well, it's not just him. There's others coming, whether it's Fauci or whatever. And people say, any crimes they may have committed. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. Like, you're just going to give a person carte blanche. Like, you get to just take that stuff away. And I don't feel here in Shasta County. I think people deserve to know more of what's going on. And because we pre-recorded this show, I can't disclose what's coming on the agenda. But when this show airs, and you're listening to it right now on Sunday, the agenda will be out for next meeting, which on December 19th is a night meeting, starts at 5:30. And the agenda's out, and you know I can't reference what's on there because that would be a Brown Act, and there's so many people that would love to catch me in a Brown Act violation.
Sure would.
But I don't do it, so I don't have to worry about it. And I have nothing to hide. So look at the agenda, and then people will see, because I think – you know, the truth will set us free.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about you. Like, you know, whatever was written in the media, I've stopped looking at it. Like, I just don't anymore. And so whatever was said about you or however that happened, I'm glad that, you've risen above it.
And obviously I jumped to the defense of my friend Mark Mazzano, you know, because again, we got so close during campaigns and I've known his family for years. You know, when something said, I felt like I had to have a response, but that was probably the worst time to ever take an interview because I was sitting there with a broken foot. I could only hop to the bathroom and back to the bed kind of a thing, and painkillers and all this awful stuff. And I get this call from, you know, a local editor, and you know, and I'm, of course I take the call because, you know, that's what you're taught to do. You know, you want to be open and transparent. And, you know, I kind of got trapped into a situation where, you know, they say, you know, basically, how do you want to respond to being a puppet of Kevin Cry? And I go, listen, Kevin Cry and I barely know each other. Like, we're not friends. We don't hang out together.
We spent more time today.
Exactly. This is probably the longest we've ever spent with each other.
Yeah, I mean, so it's one of those things that, like, you know, everyone has to, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what I've learned, and I know you've learned this as well, and you mentioned it about the supporters. I have people now that I would have never met. And I'll always go back to Ken, and his, beautiful bride. You know, I would have never, and he's called into the show a couple times, and I would have never met him. And he touts himself as the most liberal supporter of Kevin, because he is. We are very opposite end if you put us ideology wise, but where we come together is, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. And you got to help the people that need the help, but you got to boot the people in the butt that just need to get motivated. I mean, because you have people running like GoFundMe accounts to instead of just going out and getting a job. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many freaking jobs. I mean, I mean, there's been a few times that I've honestly wanted to. And remember, there was a Mel Brooks movie years ago where he had to like rebuild, and it was a comedy. But like right now. You know, if you're a person that has a work ethic, you know, and a heartbeat, you can make something of yourself in this country. And that's why I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, again, money management. Like you have, like, you know, we just went to a local coffee shop here in District 1 and we got our $3 or $4 coffees. Well, you can get free coffee at home, or you can get Folgers crystals. Like it's all about decisions. And so many people don't want to take responsibility for their decisions. And going back to what you said earlier about this conspiracy thing is like, you know, people, we hold as a single elected official, very little power. Mm-hmm. We have a platform, but you know, Dave, you have that same platform because what you're doing, you know, in the community as a realtor working on these nonprofits, I hope you run. I really do, because I think we need more people doing it for the right reasons, and there's no time. You know, the best time to plant a tree was yesterday. The next best time is today. So I hope you do, and I'm throwing my support behind you now. So if you decide to run, man, I hope you do, because there's three seats open, and who knows who's going to rerun. And, you know, we got 20 seconds left, so give us your last thing.
Well, all I can say is if I do make the attempt to run again, first I want to thank all those that were behind me the first run. I welcome all the folks that will come behind me on the next run. And, you know, I appreciate all the support, and I hope that I can gain some financial support because I learned that grassroots doesn't work up here.
Well, we'll have you back.
I got to get some money.
We'll have you back. With that, Shasta County, have a great week. Come out to the board meeting this Thursday.
Working all day, overtime hours for both this pay so I can sit out.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.